Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
One of the things I love to do is have people on the show that know more than I do, which is thankfully not a very difficult thing to do, surpassing my knowledge. Never all that difficult probably for anybody. But on Monday on our show, we had the former Georgia All-American John Stinch come on the program. We were just going to talk about some of the regular stuff. But at the end of the conversation, I asked John, I said, okay, as a guy who played the game, as a guy who probably watches all of this a little bit differently than I do, tell me what it is that you're looking to see on G-Day on Saturday. And the words that John used, the statement that he made, I knew at the time I wanted to put a pin in that and kind of come back to it later. Well, that moment has now arrived from the mouth of a former All-American. Here is what John says is interesting about G-Day on Saturday, using a bad memory from last season as the sort of setup for all of this. John Stinchcomb from Monday.
Yeah, it's not flashy, but I certainly would like to see these edge players, the defensive line, what's the rotation look? Less about rotation, but who are the guys that are really going to step up? You know, is it Wilson or Gabe or some of these guys that are expected to be able to add some pressure to these quarterbacks and affect these highly talented offensive line? Georgia has a great offensive line. You look at the experience, you look at the guys that are coming back and the depth. I want to see how our defensive front and the edge players specifically can step up and make an impact at that position, because you know the SEC championship game still lingers in most of our minds as an area that, you know, in a matchup that in a heavyweight bout matters. We probably lost that space.
So two things about what John Stinchcomb says there. At the end, he points out what I think is, unfortunately, from a Georgia fan perspective, just objectively true, that in the battle against Alabama, Alabama's defensive front probably played better against Georgia than Georgia's played against Alabama. And I'm a believer, and we've talked about that a lot since last December, that may be the single most significant reason that Georgia lost that game. And when you look at the team that was able to beat Alabama, Michigan, the play of Michigan's front group, its front seven, if you will, defensive front, surpassing what Georgia was able to do, that may have been the number one reason that Michigan was able to do what Georgia didn't do, which is beat Alabama on that particular Saturday. In fact, you look at the numbers here, and the truth is the overall numbers for Georgia against Bama were actually a little better than I remembered. Georgia did have four sacks that day, had eight tackles for loss. But by comparison, Michigan had six sacks. Michigan had 10 tackles for loss. And the impactful play at the defensive line of scrimmage, kind of getting into the Alabama backfield, ultimately, I think, was the difference in why Michigan moved on, won a national championship, and Georgia had to go play a consolation-type game in the Orange Bowl. And when John kind of zeroes in on the edge rusher position there, and one name in particular that he mentions that we'll get to in a moment, but I think it's important to know that in the ongoing discussion, when you look at sort of what we think of as the traditional defensive line, you know, defensive tackles, defensive end, you know, the phrase that gets used is the sort of game-wrecking impact player that Georgia had with Jalen Carter here in 2022 and had in abundance in 2021. The suspicion that, well, Georgia didn't really have that guy a year ago, and we don't really know right now if Georgia's got that guy along the defensive line for 2024 either. But what we've said over and over is, while, you know, we'll find out exactly what Georgia does have on its defensive line, your game-wrecking impact player doesn't have to be a defensive tackle. It has been before with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and, to a certain extent, Devontae Wyatt, and obviously a defensive end like Trayvon Walker, but it doesn't necessarily have to be an exact replica of that going forward, but it's just got to be somewhere. And we say, okay, if your defensive line is just simply good, if it's better than it was a year ago, better against the run, more impactful at the point of attack, if it's just simply improved from where it was a year ago, that could perhaps open the door for your game-wrecking dominant player, your future first-round pick, to perhaps come from the sort of edge-rushing spot. We hope that might happen in 2023. It didn't necessarily occur, but that doesn't mean it can't happen in 2024 there as well. And that's why I love what John Stinchcomb says so much. When he mentions by name Damon Wilson of, I'm watching this edge rusher position. I want to see what that group does. Do they, and I like the way that John says it. He said it twice. Do they step up both on G-Day and as a little bit of a foreshadow for what they might do later on this fall? And I think that Damon Wilson's a really important name to have in that discussion. In fact, the last time we heard from Kirby Smart a couple of Tuesdays ago, he was also asked directly about Damon Wilson. And as Smart has done in the past, kind of pumped the brakes on this somewhat, but at the same time was also pretty complimentary there as well. In other words, when you think about the timeline for achievement, Kirby Smart says he's pretty happy with where Wilson is on that, even if some of this is perhaps not happening right now as fast as some fans want. This is what Smart said about the guy that John Stinchcomb also talked about, Damon Wilson, going back to last week.
Yeah, he's getting better. Have I seen the jump that I want to have? He's right where he needs to be and supposed to be. He's not ahead of schedule and he's not behind. He's growing at a rate that I've seen a lot of outside backers, whether it was Nolan, Aziz, all these guys that have come through here. He's gotten better each and every year. He's improving his run strength ability, his ability to hold up against big tackles and stop the run, be violent and twitchy. He's always been a really good rusher, and he gives great effort, and I'm proud of those things. He's got to become a more consistent first and second down player, which he's doing. He's a work in progress, and he's growing at that, and he's going to be able to help us this year.
So, look, let's have a very honest conversation here for a moment. Nobody can dispute that Kirby Smart is an offensive expert. I mean, I'm sorry, he's offensive expert maybe too, but a defensive expert. This is a genius on that side of the ball. And two national championship proves that Kirby Smart's way of coaching, it just works, right? I mean, he makes these defenses into something special almost on a yearly basis. Nobody disputes that whatsoever. And so when Kirby Smart says, listen, we like his pass rushing ability, but he needs to be a better player on first and second down. He needs to be more sound with how he stops the run and things like that. We obviously understand that's kind of veering into very comfortable conversational territory for Kirby Smart, because that's sort of what he's pushed for a long time. There's a certain soundness that he seeks from each of his players, and sometimes that ends up, in some cases, suppressing the overall statistical achievement that these players could produce. And if we're just being completely honest, that runs against some of what fans sort of hope to see. What fans want from a guy like Damon Wilson, especially after a high-profile recruiting battle a couple of years ago that Georgia won against Ohio State, and there's all kinds of accusations back and forth about, you know, who was turning up the heat the most on the NIL and all that kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is Georgia walked away the winner, and Georgia fans want to see the spoils of that victory. They want to see a guy like Wilson have the huge statistical performance. You go back and look at the Kirby Smart era Georgia. The highest single-season sack total for any player was Aziz Ojulari, who had 8.5 in 2020. People want a guy like Wilson or Mikael Williams or somebody, Jalen Walker, whoever. They want somebody to kind of get up near that number or perhaps surpass that number at some point in time. And it's not just fans who are watching this kind of thing. It's opposing, you know, programs, you know, recruiting rivals who are watching this kind of stuff too. Nobody disputes the overall success of the Georgia defense. But when the sort of big-time, game-breaking, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, dominant edge rusher, when that guy's not emerging, people are going to notice that fairly or not. And, in fact, at the beginning of last season, that was a little bit of a topic for a while about what Mikael Williams might have a chance to do and what Georgia edge rushers just in general, pass rushers in general, might have a chance to do. And was Kirby Smart concerned about the fact that some people might negatively recruit against the program because that guy hasn't really kind of popped up yet? I apologize for not pulling the video on this, but I want to read you the quote that appeared last September at DogNation.com in terms of people negatively recruiting against UGA. Smart said, well, we usually fix that. We show them how many we have drafted. Then all that talk is silenced, Smart said. We put Trayvon Walker sacks up there and say he went number one overall. We put Devontae Wyatt up there and say he went first round. We put up Quay Walkers and we put up Nolan Smith. We put up Jordan Davis up there. Then we don't have to say anything. So that's what Kirby Smart said to fire back at his critics. And almost every Georgia fan would say, you tell him, Kirby, because you are exactly right about that. And the fact is, Kirby Smart is exactly right about all of that, that the track record for Georgia speaks for itself, what it's been able to produce in the NFL draft and what it's also been able to produce with a team concept on the field. But this is also where honesty compels you to admit that Georgia, if you believe these like seven-round mock drafts that are out there right now, Georgia isn't projected to have a player from its front seven drafted this year. Now, some of that's the mitigating factor of Warren Brinson and Azeer Stackhouse came back to school, and Georgia's still relatively young at the inside linebacker position, and on and on and on you could go. There are possible explanations for this that would certainly lead you to believe they may have a big-time windfall in the 2025 draft at these particular positions, defensive line, outside linebacker, edge rusher, as you call it now, perhaps inside linebacker too. But the point I'm getting to is it's sort of time for Georgia to do that again if it wants to stay at the national championship level. In other words, a year ago when Kirby Smart saying, listen, our draft track record, our success track record means we don't have to respond to our critics about anything. Well, now I would say that it's time to kind of defend that brand once again. You know, when you got the title, you got to defend the title in order to be able to keep it. The best defense in America in terms of developing talented players for future NFL stardom, that's what Georgia has been. And I would say it's time for Georgia to be that again once again in 2024, which, as John Stinchcomb pointed out, is one of the things that does make G-Day really interesting on Saturday. The phrase that John used was, kind of time to step up. Time for Damon Wilson to step up. Time for Mikael Williams to step up. Time for maybe it's a Gabe Harris or whoever. Time for guys on the outside edge of this defense to step up, to create a unit that sort of plays better as a team than it did a year ago, but perhaps time for some individual stars to sort of flourish a little bit too, reminiscent of what Georgia was in 2022 when Jalen Carter was doing big things, or in 2021 when a number of guys, five eventual first-round picks, were doing big things right there. Georgia needs those star players on defense to step up here this year. John Stinchcomb is right when he says outside edge rusher, outside linebacker type players, that may be the best and most likely spot for that to occur. And seeing if we see some evidence of that on Saturday is one of the things that's going to make G-Day so fun. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Meriwether and Tharp, and we are happy to have you with us as a part of the program today. Whether you're checking in live on video at 10 a.m., you're listening to us on the radio, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or checking in as a podcast, we are just so happy to have you as a part of the program here today. And if you're a radio person or a podcast person, or you know, a lot of you watch the video on demand there as well, you essentially treat it as a podcast there too, the overwhelming majority of the audience. So perhaps this won't, you know, mean as much to you, but maybe you can go back and check this out after the fact. Today live as a part of our R.S. Andrews cool down at the end of the show, we're going to take some calls here live today as a way of just kind of finding out what's on the mind of Georgia fans ahead of G-Day on Saturday. We're going to do that with some of y'all who are able to join us live here at the end of our broadcast. So if you're listening and watching live right now, hang with us if you can. We'll invite you to be a part of the program here in a little bit. And if you're normally an on-demand person, audio maybe, go check out the video today there at the end. You can hear some Georgia fans sharing their thoughts on what they're all about here for Saturday. And one quick programming note there as well. Brand new show debuts tonight. It's called Dog Nation at Large. It's Kaylee Manziel and Connor Riley debuting their brand new looking show, 7 p.m. on the Dog Nation video channel. So you want a great fresh spin on everything going on with Georgia football. Check out Connor and Kaylee tonight, Dog Nation at Large, 7 p.m. there on the Dog Nation video channels. Let me give a shout out to Meriwether and Tharp and make today's show possible for us. And listen, we love G-Day, we love the Masters, we love Braves baseball, we love all the things going on right now. But for many of you, the conversation nowhere near as pleasant because you have confronted the reality, maybe in your life, that the divorce process for you is going to be unavoidable. You've tried to get around it. You've tried to prevent it, and your efforts have just not proven fruitful. And I'm sorry about that. If that's the situation you find yourself in, where this is now an unavoidable for reality for you, that's tough. I don't sugarcoat that. But here's what I can also tell you. The best way to confront an unavoidable reality is to have a strong advocate on your side as you do that. And that's what Meriwether and Tharp is all about. Meriwether and Tharp has been through situations, perhaps similar to yours, thousands of times in the past. And when you have that kind of experience, you develop some institutional knowledge. And they want to put that to work for you. Now, here is one of the ways in which they do that. Having talked to clients so much, one of the things that Bob Tharp and his team have discovered is one of the biggest fears that people have going into the divorce process is how much it's going to cost them. They're looking for a certain level of cost certainty about the divorce process. And Meriwether and Tharp, they've always been really forward thinking. I really like that. You know, they have regular traditional coverage if that's what you want, but they also kind of tailor their services to sort of meet the moment that the current marketplace asks for. And that's what they're all about. For instance, if you sort of feel like your situation is fairly straightforward and not all that complicated, then you might be able to do like a DIY thing for as little as $99 to get through this divorce process. Or if you kind of find yourself looking for something different than perhaps the traditional stuff you've heard about, maybe other places, this is where you're going to love the Model M&T level of service, which includes a payment plan. You can do like a flat rate payment that kind of lets you know exactly how much all of this is going to cost you. Or if you want to do a monthly subscription, you can do that there as well. So a lot of options, all of them very interesting and creative. I want you to go to GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com to find out more about that. That's GeorgiaDivorceTeam.com, and you can find out more about that today. Meriwether and Tharp brings Dog Nation Daily to us here today. All right, we're going to get Terrence Edwards coming up in just a little bit. Really looking forward to that conversation with Terrence. Terrence will obviously have some terrific thoughts about everything that's going to go down on GD on Saturday. And, of course, as we go around the doghouse here right now, we're also reminded this is a very big week in Atlanta, in the state of Georgia, when it comes to sports. We get the Masters. I believe we have now officially teed off in Augusta. Late start because of the rain, but I believe they are on the course and getting ready to have balls flying in the air there in Augusta. So we're excited about that. One of the things we're obviously watching pretty closely, the performance of the former Dogs. Good number of Dogs on tour playing there at Augusta National here this week. One of them, the former major champion Brian Harman, who I have a lot of eyes on him this week, and a lot of those Georgia fans there in the gallery among the patrons at Augusta National. Brian Harman was actually asked this week about the feeling of having all those Dog fans around there. And Brian gave what I thought is a very UGA-centric answer to all of this. This is good stuff from Brian Harman. Take a look and listen to this.
It seems like I do better when everyone's rooting against me than rooting for me. So I'll have to that's a new challenge. Because, yeah, I mean, around Augusta, you know, there's a lot of Dogs out here, and you hear it all week, and it's fantastic. So I'll have to try to channel it. Maybe I'll just pretend like they're yelling mean things instead of nice things.
So I love that, because isn't this very much like what we talked about the other day with the betting odds and the fact that right now more people are betting on Ohio State than betting on Georgia? Georgia will be the preseason number one, and they will remain the betting favorite. But right now the action is sort of on Ohio State. And the point we made was, Georgia fans sort of like that. Georgia fans kind of like the idea of, the deck is stacked against us. So-and-so wants this. You know, Georgia fans kind of embrace, Kirk Herbstreit's, you know, all up in his feelings because Dylan Raiola went to Nebraska. Georgia fans like kind of casting others in the villain role, or kind of casting themselves in the villain role and compared to what other people want. So if Brian Harman says, listen, I like the impression of people booing me, not cheering me, I would say that's just very much in keeping with what sort of Georgia and the approach that Georgia takes to some of this kind of stuff. So kind of nice to be there from Harman. Harman's also kind of famous for what you call like a club waggle. You know, Harman will, you know, kind of stand over the ball and sort of waggle the club a pretty good, you know, bit before he swings it, which I don't necessarily mind, whatever you need to do to kind of get yourself in that position. But what I love from Harman on this is, he makes no apologies for this whatsoever. I know there was some, I guess, rumblings in Augusta this week that Brooks Koepka didn't want to play with Harman because of the fact that Harman does the club waggle thing. And Harman was like, listen, we're playing out here for all kinds of stakes. I'm going to waggle the club as much as I want to, so I don't care if you don't like it or not, which I would say is the kind of impressive self-confidence that gives Harman a chance to be a major champion, something he already is, and perhaps pursuing even more of that here this week there at Augusta. By the way, speaking of all of that, let me also show you, we had a tremendous, tremendous response to our Golden Shoe Masters pool. We had such a great response to all that. Thank you to all of you who participated. By the way, love the music here. Makes me get a chance to feel like Jim Nance and say, hello, friends, and just kind of roll in on all of this. But if I believe I got the link back to everybody who came in by like 6 a.m., this morning. I'm pretty sure I got the link back to you, so hopefully everybody who wanted to get in was able to get in. But I want to give you a quick update on mine here. Now, the way our format works is we're all picking six golfers, kind of divided into six tiers based on the betting odds. And what we're going to do is, of the six golfers you pick, the top four scores count. If you don't make the cut, I believe we're going to give you an 80 for that or something like that. So here's what I'm walking away with. Scottie Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, Brian Harman, Minwoo Lee, Harris English, Phil Mickelson. Actually, I think that Russell Henley, of all the former Dogs, Maybe the one that's the best chance of winning this week, but somehow I ended up with Harmon and English among my picks here. Let me just give you one quick master thought. This is a college football show. We're not going to turn this into golf. Let me just give you one master's thought. I think this year's tournament, more so than any other since the heyday of Tiger Woods, is kind of a binary referendum on one dude. The story is either Scottie Scheffler wins or he doesn't. Given the way that he's played, it's time for Scheffler to add more trophies to his major championship shelf. And obviously, here at Augusta this week, winning here again would be a very big deal for him. So, only at 4-1, those are very short odds, but he's my pick to win because right now he's just by far and away the most dominant golfer out there. And if he doesn't win, that will be the story, just given, I would say, the gap he has in the rest of the field here right now. But we'll make that around the doghouse on Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp. K-Dog, watching on DogNation.com, says, listen, I love Brian Harmon, but I don't like the club whackle from Harmon either. I mean, typically speaking, I'm in favor of an accelerated pace of play. I don't like slow play, generally speaking. I'm not very good at golf. At least I'm going to try to play fast. But in the case of Harmon, I have some respect for the fact that it's like, this is my process. This is what I feel I need to do. It's not the yips. Like, was it Kevin Na a couple of years ago who almost had the yips? He almost couldn't swing the club. That doesn't appear to be what Harmon has. He just has a deliberate process before he releases it. But it seems to work for him. And the fact that he's confident enough not to be bothered by the fact that other people don't like it. In a weird way, I sort of have respect for that. But anyway, that's enough golf talk for now. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp. What y'all care about is G-Day. What you care about is college football. And we're ready for a fun one coming up on Saturday. And, of course, the guy that's given us great insight throughout all of spring practice, no doubt we'll have plenty to say about G-Day there as well. So what do you say we keep that going? It's Terrence Edwards here today talking some Georgia football on Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp.
And across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let's say hello to Terrence Edwards here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. So, Terrence, you've been a player at G-Day before. What's the mindset here? Are you excited? If you're a current Georgia player right now, you excited about being in the stadium on Saturday? You're just looking forward to having spring practice over with? Are you wanting to go out there and prove to everybody how good you are? You know, it's not the same kind of football we see September, October, November, but at the same time, it is another step in towards, you know, kind of proving where you belong in this pecking order for playing time once the real season gets here. What do you think the mindset is, in other words, for these players heading into Saturday?
It's just depending on where you are at in your career. You know, if you're a veteran, you're just ready to, you know, get it over, come out injury-free. If you're a newcomer, you're ready to showcase your talent for the first time in Sanford Stadium. And if you're a guy that's bidding for a starting spot or a backup spot, you're going to try to continue to put positive film out on tape. So it just depends on what stage you are at in your career.
So I went back and looked. Stetson Bennett threw it like 30-something times as an established starter for Georgia in the 2022 G-Day game. But for some reason, I sort of have a hunch that Beck may throw it a good bit less than that on Saturday. Everything that I've heard, and some of this is even coming from you who got a chance to watch him the other day, is that, you know, Carson Beck's having an outstanding spring. And I think a lot of Georgia fans want to see that from the entertainment aspect. Let me watch a good football player just play the game. That's fun to watch. But in terms of, you know, finding out what you have in Carson Beck right now, you don't really necessarily feel like you need to do that. Do you think there's a chance this ends up looking a little bit like one of these preseason NFL games where Beck makes an appearance, you know, makes some completions, and then we don't see much of Carson after that? How much do you think Carson might play on Saturday?
It just depends on the rhythm of a scrimmage. If he's going out and he's looking sharp like he's been looking this whole spring, you may see less of him. But if he's not and the offense is not clicking, Kirby may keep him out there and continue to play to try to find the rhythm. But, you know, going back to Stetson in the 2022 season, I also think that was, you know, everyone put that the defense was the main reason we won a national championship. So I think maybe going into that spring, Georgia coaches want to show that Stetson was a big part. And so they threw the ball with him 30 times to be a prelude of what we're going to see the next season. So you have all different reasons of why and how you play a player, how many snaps a player play, how many times you throw the football. So I could tell you that was on purpose to let Stetson throw that much. So with Carson, you never know. Hopefully he goes out and play two, maybe three series, look sharp, and we get him out and let's see what the other quarterbacks can do.
Yeah, I think you're making a good point, because on the other hand, you know, it's not like, I mean, obviously anything can happen at any moment. You know, nothing's guaranteed in life, but we're not tackling quarterbacks to the ground here, so it's not like there's the same level of injury risk, even if you're playing like, you know, McNeese Day. I mean, there's not that kind of thing, because I can promise you this. There's going to be FBI agents coming out of the sky if anybody gets anywhere close, you know, to Carson Beck on Saturday. So no one's going to get close to him. So I guess in a roundabout way, your injury risk is somewhat mitigated by the fact that there's going to be no contact on quarterback. So maybe that gives him a chance to play a little bit more. But it's also one of these things too, Terrence, where, I mean, I think there is genuine curiosity around Gunnar Stockton. I mean, that's the guy that I think we've talked about Gunnar a lot, it seems like, the last few days. But that's the guy I think that people really do want to see, because, A, I think there's belief that he's going to show some of the same level of improvement we saw Carson show over the course of his time while he was waiting to become the Georgia starting quarterback. And if that's the case, then boy, to me, that changes a lot about the future conversations around Georgia football, both in the near term and kind of long term. If Stockton has the look of a potential future starter, then I just think that changes a lot of the talk you might have about other quarterback topics, doesn't it?
I think so. But I think also we should put more stock in the FSU, in the bowl game for Gunnar, than a spring game, because, you know, he's been playing against these players now for how many practices. They understand offense. Like, we put too much stock in a spring game. If a player doesn't participate or show up well, then we want to downgrade him. If he shows out, then we're looking forward to what he's going to do in the fall. So this is a glorified scrimmage, kind of scripted. So we shouldn't put so much stock into this one spring game. But the totality of the whole spring is what I'm curious to see what the coaches feel about the way he's performed this whole spring. But, you know, it's another opportunity to get out there and play a semi-game. I know Gunnar won't be tackled, and we all know Gunnar is a athletic quarterback, yeah. And a part of his game is his ability to run the football. So I'm just ready to see Gunnar in another real-life game once the season starts. Hopefully we get a couple of games where he can get some meaningful minutes.
There's been chatter about a Ryan Puglisi knee injury. I think a lot of Georgia fans want to see him too, because, I mean, supposedly Puglisi's got a cannon. I, to be honest with you, I haven't seen as much of Puglisi as I've probably seen in some of these, you know, Southern in-state type quarterbacks. I haven't seen as much of Puglisi, but a lot of people really rave about his throwing ability. I know you saw Georgia practice the other day. Do you have any concern that a knee injury might prevent him? He's obviously going to run around a bunch on Saturday, but would you, if you had to make your best guess, assume he can still sort of stand there in the pocket and deliver the football and at least be a part of the overall story for this game on Saturday?
I wouldn't be too much concerned about it. I think Ron Corson and that staff is going to put that young man in the best predicament. If he can't go because of the number of quarterbacks that we have, we definitely don't want to risk our third quarterback getting injured in this type of game. So if he's willing to go, if he's able to go, we will see him. And I'm interested to see him as well, because when I was there and I saw him, he does have a live arm. So I'm happy with what I saw from him. Now just him just being able to learn college football coming from playing up north.
And I want to ask too leading of a question here, but do you expect the Georgia offensive line to be the best unit on the field on Saturday?
From what we've read and what we've been hearing, they have been the best unit throughout spring, and that's a great sign. I can tell you this, those are some gigantic men. They are huge. So Kirby definitely go out. He has a type of offensive lineman that he likes. And I think I've heard him say he liked having offensive defensive line that can move bigger men. So this offensive line is very solid. A lot of them have played a lot of football, and I'm interested to see how they play as a unit on spring G-Day.
Yeah, me too there as well. So I had a prediction earlier this week, and some of this is based on conversations I've had with you, but I'm calling on both Arian Smith and Colby Young to have touchdowns on Saturday. My thought here on this is, Terrence, is that when you look at Arian's career at Georgia, you know, not as many catches I'm sure he'd like to have, injuries, things like that, but he has had a real ability to catch touchdowns. And, you know, Colby Young, that's the thing about Miami that recommends him probably the most here at Georgia. It's the fact that he had 5 touchdowns a year ago in that Hurricane offense. And as you know, Terrence, they weren't scoring very much. So the fact that he had 5 touchdowns in an offense that otherwise wasn't scoring a ton, you know, that probably, you know, says a little something. I believe that this can be a very big year for Carson in terms of his passing touchdown mark. And guys who are just good at catching touchdowns become a pretty interesting part of all of that. So Arian perhaps is a little bit of a foreshadowing of what he could be. Colby as a perhaps a little bit of a foreshadowing of what he could be. This doesn't mean that both Arian and Colby, in my mind, are the best 2 receivers on this team, because I think there's a lot to be said about other guys. We've talked about those plenty. But in terms of this specific thing, catching touchdowns, you know, Smith and Young may just be a little different in that regard. So I'm calling on both of them to catch touchdowns on Saturday. What do you make of that as a prediction?
Both of those receivers bring a very different trait. We all know that Arian Smith has elite down the field speed. We also, if you have not seen Kobe Taylor, he's a huge human being. So his red zone opportunity is going to be there. So your prediction is not off at all. Those two guys do have the opportunity, and I think will have the opportunity to showcase their talents on G-Day. And I think we all should be excited about both of these guys. We know Arian didn't have the best season last year. I think he lost his confidence a little bit, but he's definitely gained his confidence back this spring. And I'm looking for him to have a big year. I'm looking for him to be a big-time contributor for this team. And Colby Young, once we get into the red zone, and he had the highest contested rate catch last year. So just being that big, that fast, and Arian just having that elite straight line speed, those two guys can really have big years if used correctly, and I think they will be.
When you hear something like what Kirby Smart said last week about, I think the phrase used was making a concerted effort to, you know, to get the most out of Arian Smith, what do you think that means in this particular case, the fact they're giving him extra attention and paying special care to help him here this spring? What would you assume that probably means as it relates to Arian Smith?
I just think sometimes, you know, we think of Arian Smith as a down the field catcher. And I think that's one of the lowest percentage throws and catches you make that's down the field. So I just think you got to give him some easy catches. I think later in the season, they ran him on a couple of jet sweeps. They ran him on some screens. Like, get the ball in his hand and let him be a playmaker. His talent is not only down the field speed. He's a complete receiver, so he can run multiple routes and run the route tree. So give him some opportunities to catch and run instead of just being the vertical threat that he is. And once we just get the ball in our hands a few times, then we can field the ball. And I think they did a great job of getting his confidence back later in the season, because everything, all the opportunities that he had, it wasn't just a down the field throw. It was other opportunities just to make him feel good about himself.
In the time we have left, I want to finish with the conversation about the edge rusher position. That's something that John Stinchcomb talked about on Monday, your former teammate. And, you know, Mikael Williams is the guy we've given a lot of attention to. Damon Wilson's come up on the show here today. You know, what do you think about that position group, both in terms of what might happen on Saturday and just for the group overall? You know, I think a lot of people, I would put myself in this category, obviously, kind of hoping to see sort of a star player emerge from that group. And maybe I would say it's fair to assume that if a new star emerges in the Georgia defense this year, someone from that category of edge rusher may be the best group of candidates for that to happen for. What do you make of that group right now?
I think it was a great idea to move Mikael out to the edge just to see what he could do out there. I just think he is such a talented player staying inside with the 5 technique. Probably kind of limited him a little bit from his skill set, but he is a big man out on the edge, so he can fit the run and have pass rush abilities. And Damon Wilson is a guy that I really like coming out of Venice High School in Florida. I just think he has the potential to be kind of like Adam Anderson, that guy that can really, really speed rush off the end. And so we won't have to bring so many creative blitzes where we could just line up and allow those guys to go play football. So I'm looking for a guy. I mean, you just think about it. Adam Anderson was one of the better pass rushers that we have had in the Georgia program. And I can see Damon Wilson kind of having that same impact that Adam had.
Tony, let me do one more thing with you before we let you go. obviously, the thing that fans are sort of bracing for on the other side of G-Day is the fact that the transfer portal opens again on April 15th. It was this time around a year ago. You know, Bear Alexander, who's been in the news, you know, there are all these rumors about him on G-Day a year ago, and there's all kinds of chatter right now of, well, this year's portal just going to be crazy. And the moment G-Day comes to an end, you've got all this stuff that could happen. But it's also, you know, for programs other than just Georgia there as well. There's, you know, everybody, you know, perhaps bracing for some of this a little bit. You know, Terrence, you know a lot of football players. You've worked with guys who utilize the transfer portal. You know, what do you expect to happen come April 15th when this portal opens up?
I'm pretty sure every school is going to lose kids to the portal. That's expected. Now, just who you're going to lose, and I just hope Georgia doesn't lose any of the key contributors that we're looking to use this year. But that's the name of the game right now. If you lose one, there's going to be another one willing to come in. So, you know, that's something that I've religiously said that I don't like about the portal. I still like players' movement, but I just wish there was some stipulations to it. But player movement is the name of the game right now. So we shouldn't cry about it. We just should try to figure out how to best use the portal for Georgia's purposes. So, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to lose players. We're going to gain players.
Really good stuff, Terrence. Remind people, if they want to be a part of the work that you're doing on a regular basis, the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy, obviously you're a head coach now, and yet at the same time you're still giving back to those players who want to improve themselves on an individual basis, and you've got great stuff going on all the time. In fact, I know this offseason you guys have been, you know, out there kind of putting the wide receivers and the quarterbacks, the defensive backs together and giving a lot of folks a chance to get some work with some kind of adjacent position groups there as well. So that's been ongoing all offseason long. And I know a lot of these high school teams got their spring practices here coming up. So for people who want maybe a little bit of last second work before all that gets going, how can they get in touch with the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy?
Yes, I know a lot of track is finishing up. So anyone looking to get some work in right before spring practice, you can reach me at Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy on all platforms.
How about Mount Vernon? You guys getting ready for your spring practice there as well?
May 13th.
There you go. Good stuff there. Terrence, always great to have you as a part of the program. Really appreciate that. Hope you enjoy the weekend coming up, and then we'll, of course, see you back here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Meriwether and Tharp again very soon as well.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, good stuff. Love that from Terrence Edwards. Really strong thoughts there about what's going to happen there on G-Day on Saturday. And obviously Terrence speaks from a great place of knowledge, both in terms of his own playing career, but the fact that he also saw Georgia practice the other day. And you certainly get some extra insight when it comes to a sort of an eyewitness account like that. Now, speaking of being an eyewitness, I have not been an eyewitness to this yet, but boy, I am hoping to. Sometime in the future, perhaps, getting a chance to be on board from Royal Caribbean, the brand new Oasis-class ship that's going to debut here coming up in July. How about Utopia of the Seas? And it's always amazing to me to think about these ships. They have to be constructed. You know, you go, typically I think it's in Europe where they're built. And, I mean, these big ships got to be built somehow. And there is going to be so much fun stuff associated with Utopia of the Seas when it debuts. There are some brand new restaurant concepts. Not only is it going to be new for Royal Caribbean, it's going to be really new for almost, not just even a cruise ship experience, almost even like a land-based experience. Some of the restaurant concepts I've heard talked about for Utopia of the Seas, completely different than almost anything, like the Royal Railway Express, which is literally going to be like a theme park attraction. I mean, like what I've heard about this, it's sort of like a railroad train simulator. I mean, it's. I think it probably defies description here right now. Just some fantastic stuff on what I believe is going to end up being the final Oasis class ship. I believe I shouldn't say that for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be the final Oasis class ship. Fascinating stuff from Royal Caribbean as Utopia of the Seas prepares to make its debut. Now, if you want to make your plans to be a part of Utopia this summer heading towards the fall, Jessica Slater, great travel agent, can help you out with all of that. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. Experience the best that Royal Caribbean has to offer with a brand new Oasis class ship that's going to be sailing just down the road from us at Port Canaveral, which is sort of my home port. You can do all of that coming up very soon, and Jessica Slater can tell you more about that. Give her a call, 770-718-9147, or email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. And, of course, we will see Jessica as a part of our Dog Nation cruise coming up in just a couple of days. We're right there on almost time for all of that. So that's getting ready to go down here very, very soon. All right, let's go ahead and get ready to talk about a couple of cruise around the SEC stories. And so yesterday we talked about Bear Alexander. The thought was transferring away from USC. We have since then seen a reversal, of course, and now it is believed that Alexander, according to his own words, is now going to stay with the Trojans. And it's very funny. Like I said before, we are very, very soft in terms of our touch when it comes to players. You know, coaches will be a little harder on every now and then. Players, we don't pick on too much. But Alexander was like, I don't know where this is coming from, that I might be going to a different school. Bear's been to like six schools in the last 6 years. All of a sudden, it's impossible to imagine that I might transfer. I think the thought of where this comes from is the fact this isn't the first time that Bear Alexander's been on the move. But nonetheless, Alexander is going to stay. I don't know if this is true, but I will tell you there was a rumor after the 2022 National Championship game, like right away, that Bear was already considering going into the transfer portal. It was believed the floating of the portal idea might have been a way of generating some NIL leverage. I don't know. That's why this portal rumor popped up with Alexander this time around. But could this have been a situation where his rumored entry into the portal created a little bit more leverage to get more money out of USC and perhaps a nicer apartment than the one we all saw photos of a year ago? Honestly, that's just rampant speculation. But of course, in this sort of Wild West day of college football, anything is possible. The point is, it certainly appears that Alexander now happy enough to remain in Los Angeles with USC. So best of luck to his football future, betting on Lincoln Riley's defense with all of that. Yesterday, it became official in Fayetteville as John Calipari was introduced as the brand new Arkansas basketball coach. And there's obviously a level of enthusiasm around Calipari at Arkansas that did not exist with around Calipari at Kentucky. And that's sometimes why coaches make this move, right? It's like, fans have a tendency to be a little happier when things are new than they are when things have kind of grown a little bit stale. And I would say the Calipari at Kentucky clearly grew stale. I also think it's important to note that, and listen, I don't, you know, live and die with college basketball the way I would have maybe done years ago, but I do believe overall the Arkansas basketball job is a better job than it's given credit for. In fact, if you ask me, okay, the two entities here, the coach John Calipari, the program Arkansas, I'm a bigger believer in the Arkansas program than I am Calipari as a coach. And in fact, you know, I believe that if Calipari has success here at Arkansas, it's not going to be because, well, finally Arkansas got itself a coach. It's going to be, you know, finally Calipari working in a program where, you know, the idea around what, you know, success requires a little bit more aligned maybe than it was at Kentucky. And I know Calipari took some shots at Kentucky's NIL infrastructure when he spoke there in Fayetteville yesterday. But you know, this is the sort of big time soap opera style event that, you know, clearly gets a lot of attention. But, you know, listen, I think that Bud Walton Arena, one of the best arenas in college basketball, Arkansas is a program that's won national championships, albeit a while ago. You know, there's a chance this could be more successful for Calipari than Kentucky was, just because Arkansas is probably a better program than people perhaps realize. Now, let me finish up with this as part of cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. There's obviously a lot going on with spring games on Saturday beyond just Georgia. I want to give you a few of these here. We're kind of all over the place with that. You've got on Saturday alone, speaking of Arkansas, they're at the same time as Georgia at 1 p.m. Florida is there as well. Florida's typically done its spring game on like a Friday night, but this year doing it on a Saturday afternoon. They also typically do kind of a Mickey Mouse format just down the road from Disney World. We'll see if they're doing that again there as well. You've got Brock Vandegrift in Kentucky also there at 1 p.m. and then Tennessee there as well. So this is what drives me crazy. So like the ESPN family of networks, including its streaming platforms here, has got full control over all these spring games. And they're just going to jam five of them right at the same time. Now, maybe they're going to do a red zone style, you know, whip around or something like that. But that's kind of a strange type deal there. You've also got LSU getting the SEC Network Plus treatment there at 2 p.m. Eastern time that day. And then Alabama gets TV, ESPN for 4 p.m. for the Kalen DeBoer debut. So there you go. And then Ole Miss at the same time also on streaming. So you've got, what is that, seven spring games in the SEC alone on Saturday, including Alabama on ESPN and a whole glut of them there at 1 p.m. there on the streaming platform. So a lot going on. The Ohio State spring game also Saturday there as well. So we've kind of gotten to that very busy time of year when it comes to the spring games. But all of that, though, highlighted for G-Day for all of us. We'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Now, yesterday during our Golden Shoe, one of the things we highlighted was somebody who said, listen, I found that long drink Peach BA. I'm loving that. I'm having a good time, and I'm enjoying that here right now. Well, I love the fact that so many of you are out there doing what we talk about all the time on the show, which is seeking out the finished long drink product, whether it is the peach-flavored version in the peach state for a limited time, or it's all of the other long drink varieties there as well. Y'all know I still like the blue can the best. It's the grapefruit flavor. It's the gin kick, but a lot of you like the long drink cranberry. In fact, our Kaylee Manziel has been talking a bunch about that lately. Long drink strong, 8.5% alcohol by volume. Long drink zero, no carbs, no sugar. Getting ready for that bathing suit season. That's maybe a good idea for some of us, myself probably included. Either way, check out the finished long drink online, thelongdrink.com. You can put in your zip code, and you can find out where you can pick up some today, whether it be the peach flavor, which has been so popular that some of you are like, listen, I'm having a hard time even finding it because it's been so popular. Well, those of you who've sought it out and you found it, it sounds like you're really enjoying it, which is what matters to me. So find the long drink online, thelongdrink.com, and you can find out where you can pick up all of your finished long drink here today. So check them out online, thelongdrink.com, for a lot more on that. And as we wrap up today with our Golden Shoe, we'll go back to the solar eclipse the other day. I told you I got a little neurotic about the solar eclipse, a little bit afraid to look at it. So I'm not necessarily proud of myself there on that, but I'm not risking my eyesight for something along the lines of something that everybody on social media literally took the same picture and shared. I feel like that's enough evidence for me on the presence of the eclipse. But either way, we got some funny eclipse-related submissions, and this has been kind of out there for a couple of days. But I wanted to share this. Bill Sanders sending this to me saying, the Major League Baseball umpire, Angel Hernandez, who just makes one bad call after another, he says he could stare directly into the eclipse and it might actually make him a better umpire. Listen, I guess anything could, you know, help perhaps, and nothing's going to hurt because he can't get much worse. So very funny stuff to Bill Sanders there on that. About a frequent source of ire for Braves fans, the Major League Baseball umpire Angel Hernandez. That's really good stuff. Lousy stinking Gators, they're about as bad as Angel Hernandez is, it would seem. It's been 1,251 days they've beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That is our Gator Hater Updater. We hope all of you have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.